A different sugis. I'm a bit remiss because I was really hoping to speak a little bit more about the Havdalah, the Raisa, the Rabbanon, a very fascinating sugya, and the Rambam is the star of that show, but fascinating different perspectives. I would say that the short deal of the Havdalah being the Raisa, the Rabbanon, for sure Havdalah is the Raisa. There's no Shaila. The question is it a Chiyuv of the Raisa? But in other words, that Havdalah is Mekayim, like the Rambam says, the flip side of means for sure. Havdalah is the key of that. The same way the Rambam says, the Ramban says famously in the Bais Yisrael that when you say Hayom Yom Shlishi B'Shabbos, Shabbat Yilavim Amar Beis Hamikdash, so that itself, if you pay attention, is a key of Zarchas Yom Shabbos Lekatshoy, and certainly the locus of being Zarchas Yom Shabbos Lekatshoy, that mitzvah is Shabbos itself. So certainly it's a key of the Raisa. And the question is, you know, how far does that go in terms of the Nusach, in terms of the Alakos? Okay, so now, some of what I just want to do a little bit of education over here, for myself really, a little bit of the sugya of Chamar Medina. Now, the truth is that Chamar Medina is a multi-part sugya. But one of the things that I want to just explore a little bit is there's a tshuva from Rav Avadia Yosef that was quoted briefly over here, and just to see how that is reflected in some of the makaris that we have. So, like this. We have over here, page 204. Okay, so Rav Chisda, had two sons. One was an older son, one was a younger son. Amar Le, Mar Yenuka, Omar Kashisha, Bered Rav Chisda Vashi. There are numerous diptych mistakes in that sentence. So it's unclear exactly what it does say Amri Le, very good. It doesn't say Amri Le. So Mayanukam Rakasisha Berei, it would have to be two sons there. The Rav Chisda of Ashi. What do they say? Zimna Chada Ikla Amimra La Asrin. Amimra came. Vele Havalon Chamra, we didn't have wine. Aisina Le Shikra Vele Avdil. So we're holding on page 202 over here, according to Gemara Pesachim Kuzayin. And they say that Amimra was here. Amimra was the ranking Gadol Adar. He was Rabbi Chaim Kanievsky. Everyone wants to get into his sefer. You know, I have a correspondence with him. I asked him, you know, I wrote a 14-page tshuva to him, and he wrote Lo. And then I wrote another 16-page tshuva to him, and he wrote Cain. And then I wrote a 20-page tshuva to him, and he wrote Maybe. And, you know, and that's my... it's famous that Rabbi Chaim Kanievsky once sent back a postcard that said nothing on it. I don't know if I got a chance to mention that in this year. He literally, like usually a word, a letter, something, nothing. The postcard said nothing. So his son brought it to him and said, exactly like this, he didn't write anything. So he laughed and he said, look at the question. So the fella is a great-grandson of Rav Mendel Zaks, the famous son-in-law of the Chafetz Chaim, who also was a bochen at YU. And Rav Mendel Zaks was Menachem Mendel Yosef Zaks. And so this anagle is named after him. The thing is that Mendel had a very fascinating way that he spelled the name Mendel. He used to spell it Mem, Ayin, Nun, Dalet, Yud, Lamed. Instead of Dalet, Lamed, it would be Dalet, Yud, Lamed. So he wanted to know, he's getting married soon, he wants to know, like, how did I write the name on the ksuba? The way that the Zayda wrote it, which is not the way that everyone else writes it, or should he write it just without the Yud? So I addressed the postcard to the shuttle. I didn't have to write anything. So he actually wrote without a yet, fascinatingly. So
he was very big into the name.
Yeah, right.
I have a friend whose name was changed because of it.
Yeah, that's why.
Okay, yeah. So you wouldn't know if the workers at the Agron are you know paying him paying him commission. Okay. So the Gemara says they're talking about Havdalah, and Amemar refused to use it for Havdalah. to beer. So beer is a classic example. Ubas tavas, and he went to sleep hungry. And the next day he made Havdalah on wine. And then finally he was masking to eat. L'shana, so the next year, again, su'ikla la'asrin, la'havala, la'nchamra, aysina shikra, same story happened. Amar, ihachi, if that's really the case, meaning now that I'm getting the idea that there's a consistent habit over here, chamar medinahu, avdil v'tamidin. So basically you see that this is where sort of the idea comes up, that Amimar says that Zachariyu al Hayayin has a certain amount of flex to it that we might not have anticipated. We might have thought, Zachariyu al Hayayin, it's got to be one. It's got to be one. And the Chazal are very strong about it. If you go to the end of Parshas Shemini. So the Pasuk says, there's a whole long Parsha there of the behemoths and tahiris and tameis, and it ends, Lehavdil ben HaKadosh ben HaChol, uben HaChaya, HaNachos uben HaChaya asher lo se'ochel. And basically it's telling us that there's a mitzvah to be aware and to be focused on the behemoths tahiris, the behemoths tameis, and that is a representation of Havdil ben HaKadosh HaChol. So Gemara Darshan's from over there, that someone who is makbid to be mekadesh al hayayin, which they dash him from the pasuk lahavdil ben kodesh lechol, so he has banim zacharim as the next parsha starts. Isha kisa zvira v'yolda zachar. So the Gemara makes that drasha, it makes that connection between the two parshas. Not often does the Gemara give a skula that's so focused, and you see the Gemara, the Chazal have a habit. One of the things they talk about is children, so they talk about it when it comes to Shiluach HaKein. It's famous, the Sefer HaChinuch brings that you do Shiluach HaKein, Shalach Sa'im, V'Sabonim Tikach Lach. So it's a remez for Banim, and the Gemara talks in Shabbos about if you do this mitzvah, so you have Banim more like this, and that mitzvah, Banim more like this, and then here as well. So you see a Chazal latching it onto the wine. It doesn't say whoever says Atul Chanatanu. So, in the Chassam Sefer's discussion of the Shittas Rambam, he tries to find other Mekaris that the Acharim don't bring, that maybe the Rambam held, not only is Havdalah Daraisa, but even Havdalah Al Yain is Daraisa. So why are we talking about this? Because the question is, what's the next step? What do you do if you don't have wine? So we see that Amimra was willing to bend when it came to Chamar Medina, and it sounded like he needed to know what the Metzias is in the country, and the second year in a row, he sees they're bringing him beer, and it's only with great difficulty that they have wine, so he makes Havdalah on beer. And so now, if you look at what the Shulchan Aruch says, V'eim avdilin ala pas. That's not a way out when it comes to Kiddush. Aval, we're holding 203. Aval ala sheikhar mavdilin imhu chamar medina. Sheikhar, the Gemara has that option. The Gemara says that straight up. And the Gemara says that a member was willing to use it if it's Chamar Medina. The same is true with other mashkin, except for water, that you could also use them as Chamar Medina. It's not Dafka beer. Says the Ramah, a very strong stance. This is like the last stop to go out. That's what the Ramah clarifies over here, which is maybe why it didn't take on so fast. I want to just give a shout out to Ari. Told me a very fascinating shout out that came up in his own sukkah. Was it this past sukkah?
No.
It was years ago, but my father gave me a surprising answer. So he said that they got this very super fancy shtari bottle. Well, we all know that it's almost like the book in the cover is the one in the bottle. Right, so it's a super fancy looking bottle of wine, and first night of Sukkot, so the Sukkot family brings out this bottle of wine, and they're all very, very happy with this bottle of wine, and then when they taste it, it tastes a little bit interesting, and lo and behold, it's lychee wine. So when I was talking to my father about this, he said, what's a lychee? So I said, oh, lychee is one of these like shechianah fruit that people use on Rosh Hashanah, so one of these boutique type of, fermented beverages that's made of lychee, and that. So when we're discussing the different halachic aspects of this shaila, the first thing my father said, my father's known as being on the vanguard of what did your Bubba say?
He's lychee.
In Europe.
Yeah, what?
So my father just threw at him. He's on the vanguard of the anti, just to explain where Rabbi Willig is, of the anti Chamar Medina club. He does not, he doesn't go for Chamar Medina. And just Kalaha, yeah, and he says, oh, and anyway, they're Yotze Kiddush because of Chamar Medina. I'm like, really? Why? You don't even know what the fruit is. He's like, it doesn't have to be like that. It doesn't have to be. And this is a very key thing. It doesn't have to be that.
Just got to have alcohol.
Oh, one second, we're going to get there. That's what I want to focus on. The Shulchanaruch is mashmah, just not water. That just not water. That's the Shulchanaruch says. But the Chacham Avadia comes with a Pesach Derla that revolutionizes a little bit that picture. So, but the thing is that my father wanted to say was very fascinating. Suddenly it was open mind that if you have a beverage that you could actually market as something which is fancy and is chashuv, even if it's not the big drink, but it is a form of drink that they use in that place. That could de facto at least be called Chamar Medina. So even though it's not like someone says, like, what's your second, what's your runner up to wine? Oh, it's the lychee. If it's something that really is, now part of the problem with that is that nowadays marketing basically controls all of our habits. Like I always say, if Coke would stop advertising, we wouldn't know what it was, right? So nowadays, you put it in the right kind of bottle, people will drink almost anything. I don't know. Exactly
there's an article like that on one of the Super Bowl commercials for this new soda that nobody's ever heard of, and they're saying the same thing. They're saying, "We bet you know this will be a thing. We'll see."
That might be more in line with everyone who said that you know, once it's Pesach, we can do all this because it's Chaviv. Maybe even if it's not Chaviv, even if it's a Chaviv.
Right, the person can bring this down, the guy, but right, it's covered because you've been deprived.
That's the next line of the Ramah. That's the Ramah. It's the next line of the Ramah.
Oh. So he says, V'nog l'havdil m'motzai Pesach ha-sheikhar v'lo al-yayin mishum d'chobe v'lov, because the sheikhar in the times of the Ramah was already made out of hops and barley and wheat. Not like the Gemara's times was made of dates and it was special dates.
But after that, they're discussing whether it has to be chavav still or not.
Right.
Maybe that's what the rabbi is saying.
So what's fascinating.
There is chashivas.
So what's fascinating about the Rama is that the Rama seems to be saying, so like, even though I hold that it better even take a post pogum than even go to Chamar Medina, one time, where there's a Svara. But the Svara is interesting because the Vilna Gaon's version of this is. I want to show that the whole Pesach I was not drinking beer because Hashem said not. And the Ramah is not saying that. The Ramah is saying there is a personal and sociological result of the mitzvah, which is, it's been more than a week since I had beer. I really could use a good Budweiser. I really could use a good Miller. I could use a Carlsberg, fill it in. I could use a good... So not because I'm showing that the whole time I was doing it since the mitzvah HaMelech was, I can't drink beer. The reason that we're saying prefer the beer is because it's been a while since I had one. And that itself adds to the Hano and the Chashivas of the mitzvah. So the Vilna Gaon is going to take it a step further and saying, well, this is also showing something about Pesach. I still remember that Rabbi Osman, who has the yeshiva, tells yeshiva, so on Matzah Shabbos he would send his son out to the tavern to get a bottle of beer for Havdalah. And I'm not sure what I guess the tavern is like a pub.
No, I know what it is.
You know what it is. We're just amazed that you know
that
what
you. Yeah. So what happened since I've been with Kassel?
I remember. I didn't know you could find one anywhere.
Oh, very good. Okay, so now here's the question. Here's the question.
Tavern in Riverdale.
Right. You want to know? There used to be a place called the Riverdale Tavern. I'm not sure if it's still there.
There you go.
So now, what is Chamar Medina? And I want to focus on this a little bit.
Am I saying that better than wine?
The Ramah saying is mashman the Ramah that although on Pesach people lived a little bit larger, everything was people had food on Pesach and they had maybe some wine left over from the Arab crisis. But when it came to Masai Pesach, the default was beer because of the fact that they had been abstaining from beer.
If you have wine, you should go get that.
That's what the Ramah sounds like. But first of all, a lot of that has to do, especially when the Ramah brings it, is how much do you prefer beer? It happens to be that I drink beer occasionally socially. But, you know, the bitter hops flavor, I'm not so into that. You know, I like the kind of beer that I don't know, in yeshivas, they don't drink. They don't touch the Budweiser. I don't know. I like that better because it's just sweet. Right? But the beers that are bitter, which I think evolves from the fact that to preserve the beer rather from spoiling, they'll put in halves, which are better. So, yeah, I don't enjoy it so much. So, if I had a choice, I wouldn't move away from the wine.
It goes by the individual or by the society. Like here, it's sort of like nobody had beer for a week, and of course, beer is better for everybody. Or right. Is it you like beer, you miss right. beer, and
right? So we see that sometimes we get so religious that we don't realize that the halacha embraces certain trends that have to do with human nature. Like the Gemara says that when it comes to mikra megillah, so even if two people are laning at the same time, usually we say tzrikalei lemishtami. That means not that you can't hear both; you can't hear either. It's the cacophony of two people speaking at the same time makes it that you can't hear either one, and you're not yet to whatever you need to be hearing if two people are saying it. But the kriyas megillah, so the Gemara says that ayi de chavivi, since it's so beloved, the whole story of the megillah, kriyas megillah. So therefore, if two people are reading, so we presume that you heard every single word. I mean, you don't have to hear every word, it has to be in order. So we presume that a person worked that out because his focus is that much greater. So the Rishonim explained, because people have a connection and an excitement. And it's to the story of the Megillah, specifically because of the fact that it only happens once a year that you do it. If it's a mitzvah of listening to Megillah every month, the Rishonim say it wouldn't be such a thing. So the Torah embraces very, very much the reality that when something is exciting and it's fun, and also it happens very rarely, right? Some kids, like, the whole year could be divided into, like, 175 days before Purim, 175 days after Purim, and that's it. And so, maybe the Gemara would have an asterisk and say that if you're not wearing a costume, so then you could only hear one and a half voices and not two of them, depending on how the excitement. So the same, I think, is really true when it comes to the Chamar Medina aspect over here, that's really what the Rama say.
But
that's the Vilna Gaon. Right, that's the Vilna Gaon is adding that layer. But the Ramaz presented much more simply, just you're in the mood for a beer. Okay, fine. So now, right. So that's the question over here. The Ramaz seems to be giving this nod that this is the minhag, but it's very much mashmash. And if you remember, we saw this in the Mishnah Berurah, when the Mishnah Berurah was introducing the sugya for Kiddush. Mishnah Berurah said that nowadays people are noeg that they try to pinch the pennies and afford wine for Kiddush Friday night.
Yeah.
And Shabbos day, the minig is, says the Bir Halacha, that people use Chamar Medina. And it's very clear that there's a financial component. In other words, the Mitzvah is really admitting that ideally you should use Chamar, you should use wine. And it's just because of the fact that wine is such a tremendous, such an expensive thing, and people in those times were so hard up for the money. So therefore, it became default that even people who are, you're right, even people who are mahadir b'mitzvahs, they use Chamar Medina. It seems very obvious. It's almost like, I'm not going to throw out this matzah, right? It costs too much, so whatever, we'll figure it out. Sometimes you have your idea issues where matzah becomes milchik or fleishik, and you're really not allowed to even save it. You have to put it. So people don't want to throw out their matzah that they spent, 300 shekel a kilo for. So they... So the point is, the Mishnah Berurah seems to be saying that the fact that people use it for Shabbos day is a certain sort of financial habit, more than, the mamash should do it that way, or they totally can't afford it. It's considered an expensive thing. Okay. So now, what are the tana'im, what are the conditions over here? And let's go one step further as well. What are the candidates for Chamar Medina? Okay, so this is a fascinating sugya in and of itself. So here, the Rashbam is quoted, he has even biography over here. Rashbam gets a shout out. Chamar Medina, Ein Yain Achar Be'ir Hazayis, if there's no other one in this city, Ki Im Sheikhar, Hilkach Mavdilin. So he says, the page 204, Dalid, the Rashbam on the sugi that we just quoted, that Amimar said, oh, this is Chamar Medina. What does it mean it's Chamar Medina? So Rashbam was pretty tough. He said, I see there's no other wine. Now, if you look at Gemara, it can't really be that way, because what happened the year before? They brought him beer. He didn't want to make up the other. Then they found wine for him the next day. It wasn't chat like, there is no wine over here. But it was enough that this is the default. The Rambam says Medina Sherov, the next page, Sherov Yina Sheikhar, Afafishu Pasal Kiddish, Mutter Lehavdil, Love, Hoyavahu, Hamara Medina. Okay, so as we saw earlier, the need of halachic need of wine is a little weaker when it comes to Havdalah than when it comes to Kiddush. So now what I want to focus on is something that the Chacham Avadya says, and it's really, we'll see, it's really from the Knesset HaGedolah. Let's just turn to page 207, and it says, Kafe v'tei. What about two of the most hush of drinks? Think about Starbucks. Right? And there's a Starbucks made it like the I don't even know how to call it exactly. They broke into a whole new cultural ground with the business model and the right. And but it started out, it's sort of like the Gap started out being like cheap, and then so like Starbucks started out like a place, whatever, but with some extra customer service, and now it really became like a big brand, and you know, people won even if they're not going to get the barista who's going to know their name, but they want that Starbucks brand on the bag of vacuum coffee that they buy. So it became a thing. It became a cultural massive. It's not just... So today, like I said, there's this extra layer of a person walks into a room and he knows that it says a big Italian name on his suit. He feels so good about himself, even if nobody even knows that it says that there. Right? It used to be in Israel, the guys who keep the label on the outside of his suit. I don't know if you remember that. When we're coming to Yeshiva, the guys like had on the outside. I'm like, that's really tacky. Right? But...
Because they just forgot about
it. Right. Oh, so now the
shaila is. It's always been on Shabbat.
There you go. Right, very good. Very good. So like
Arab Shabbos, they put it on.
Tags on your
Shabbos.
Right.
Well, that's because they're not keeping Arab Shabbos.
So now,
my convention always said Borsalino on the outside of the
Hatzah. The shaila comes up. If you cut the tag off, what's the nezek?
Like the label that goes on.
Okay, very good. Right. Back in the day. So, Cafe Vite says... You want to know like what it is? It's water. Do you remember the Ramah says? I'm just adding in words to Chacham Avadya. You remember the Ramah said that water is not Chamar Medina? Well, why do you have to say that? Because of this.
Today, water could be Avion or something like that.
Right.
Now we're dating ourselves.
One second. Whoa. What about the sapphire blue Saratoga Spring bottles for $18 or something, whatever it costs?
Could you say that the more you lead into this Ramah, the less you can drink
fun of people who have Avion bottles because it's both naive.
Okay, I like that. Yeah. Beware.
That was a whole. Water,
because
if it's
closer,
then you can't drink water.
Right. Well, so water or not. V'chein b'kodesh chazisia. Okay, what does it say over here? Halachas ketanas. Shekasev zel shoynay u'machnishal im mekachin al hakafe hakavi lo mechachma. That's not even a good question. She'ein lekadesh elo al chamar medina. And he adds in something that the Gemara sells elsewhere, but the Gemara never said it specifically to Gabi Chama Medina. The Marvi Umishaker Dum Yediyai. The Gemara says that wine can fill you up in a certain way. The Gemara in the Sugya, also in Arab Pesachim, can you drink wine in Arab Pesach? How much wine? A little bit makes you this, a lot of it makes you that. And it also has the alcoholic content that is somewhat mood influencing. So Chacham Avadya says this is. He's looking for this all over, it sounds like. I finally found the source that we're pushing reset on the whole concept of Chamar Medina. Chashivas is not enough. It has to imitate wine in the way that it actually could influence your mood. Now, this is fascinating because we presume that you could use grape juice, right? So we already know it's not ideal. There should be some alcoholic contact. But certainly if it's wine, like we saw already in the previous Yerim, that if you have grape juice, even though there's no alcohol, so you could be yotze kiddush. But let's take that to all the other options that we've been looking at. Okay, so this is what Chacham Avadya brings. It has to be dumya the yayin. Udvarav kilurin lo'ayin. And wow, this is like a tonic. Dimidi hutaima ele mishim deba'inon dumya the yayin demarvi mishachar. I've been waiting for thousands of years of halachic literature that someone should chap. That what the Gemara really means is that beer is alcoholic. That's part of how the Gemara enshrines it as Chamar Medina. of a cafe vete with all the chashiva she'im mashkirin mashakrin lo chashiva kama medina. Wow. Umino, now I mean from here too, even for fancy things like mitzvah tapuchei zahav, you have orange juice v'chayotzeva shekivan she'im mashakrin e'im abdino nalem. Now, as we knew, article in the Shpocha magazine, profiling someone a couple years ago, this from guy, this little boutique, I don't even know what it has, outpost up north, and his hobby is making alcoholic beverages out of everything, anything you could imagine, right? So he has Asis Rimonim, and he has, that's actually mentioned in Shir HaShirim, at least, as an option. So he's got all kinds of different fermented concoctions that you probably could buy if you go there.
Yeah, but
isn't
the
shichus
added to the fact that it's Chama Medina, or
that Chama says that's part of the identity?
No, that's just for Spartans. That's the Chamar part, that's the Medina part. It has to be something.
Right. Okay. So that's the different story. So now we get to the next stage, which is what I want to look at a little bit together with you. Let's see some examples. There have to be. Think about it. This is not a new shayla. This is not like no Dateline shayla. Somebody started coming up a couple hundred years ago. The earliest. No, this is the kind of thing people have been around for a while. People have been hard up for Kiddush for a while. And there must be things that are mentioned in the Pesukim, and there certainly are. So one of the things that piqued my interest in the sugya was a reference in the Mishnah Brura. Okay? And it's here on page 205. I apologize that I didn't print all this out.
Did he say that? Would Rav Avadia say that beer is better than grape juice? Or is grape juice like this?
Right. So that we already discussed, there definitely is a adifus to have something that's got alcohol to it. But for sure, Ramah would say that whenever you have real wine, don't run to Chamar Medina. That's the Ramah is very strong.
Even on Motzei Pesach.
What?
Even on
Motzei Pesach, he gives a nod to the minig, but you don't see the Ramah saying, I have a lumpus, why it should be like that.
Does that mean grape juice also?
Yeah. Ramah's willing to drink a Kais Pagum, which is 101. Kosher Bracha, do not use. Better use a Kais Pagum than to use Chamar Medina.
Grape juice with nothing.
Sorry?
A grape juice grape
according to your people.
Yeah, but only on certain ones. Only like the Tirish ones and others which haven't been diluted down.
Oh, right.
It literally says on it, grape or geffen.
Right.
Or goffin.
Right.
That's the difference. It says geffen or goffin. That's the difference.
Right, so no, because the idea is with this, that the geffen several left minutes la halacha, the yayin can't be diluted. If it's diluted even a little bit, so then it changes the name of yayin. Actually, the place that this comes up the strongest is in another Sephardi minig that the Rav Shimon and the Schever are zeicha to do. I don't know if you ever saw these in your makolet.
They have these
kashal of place that literally they're chametz, basically cookies with the chamavanya's hechsher. Okay, do you know what they're made out of? The chashal pesach cookies that are literally made from wheat.
No,
they are made of flour, literal wheat flour, mixed together with apple wine.
Okay,
wine, because the Torah says only that water, it's not chametz. But how do you make non-chametz pastry or bread with wine? It has to be. Not 100%, 1,000,000,000% wine. Meaning, I don't care if you distilled it and then you recount it. As soon as you put in one drop of water that didn't come from inside the grape,
right,
and it's chametz. So, can you guess, how do you clean out the machinery before you do a run for this? What do you use? You can't use water to clean it out because a tiny, minuscule drop is going to render the whole batch chametz. You know what they do? They wash it, the machinery, with wine.
Whoa.
They take wine and they wash out all the machinery that they're about to use with wine, and then they do the kashrut pesach run.
But why don't they rely on bittul before pesach?
Because the point is that it's actually making it into chametz. It's not like the one drop of water is a problem. The whole batch is a problem because of the one drop of water, because it's not really 100% wine.
How do they clean say machine shmura? Yeah. Right? I heard all stories of Rav Aaron Soloveitchik crawling into the machines. How do they clean those machines? With water or not?
No, for sure, yeah. I'm sure at some point they do, and someone has to go through the whole machine to, I mean, I'm in the Chabur, and this Rabbi Spetner crawls into the machine to see, what's going on in the Kishkas. And then other rabbanim are sitting there doing their older.
Clean it out.
You may not want to eat it after.
My point I'm trying to say is, first of all, the Yayin Chai is talking about it.
You know.
The Gemara says, if it was not Yayin that was chai, it wouldn't even be chirus. It all depends on the alcohol content. That's what the person can say. So one second. So I want to look, let's look together on my side, page 205, source number 12, and the Mishnah Berurah. It says a few things in the Mishnah Berurah. Right? So we should pay attention to how he's... If you look at page 205, number 12, so Mishnah Berurah starts listing off optziot, and he says, "Umashakosav who adin l'shaar mashkin." When it says other mashkin could also be considered chama medina, haynu mashkin sheregilin l'shtoisa, avu mashkin sheregilin bePesach. The Mishnah Berurah has a chumrah. He says things that you have to drink on Pesach because that's the only thing. Shout out to the raspberry concentrate that you put into the seltzer.
Yeah, come on, guys. At Bobby's house.
No, come on. No?
Yes. Okay. Yes.
Okay, there you go. At least one person.
Jeez.
Maybe it's Shapiro's?
Go to your European Bobby's house.
Is it Shapiro's, maybe?
I don't know. I don't even remember the name of it.
Okay.
I look forward to going to their house just for that.
The one, right. Okay. No one has
the seltzer and the raspberry syrup.
The raspberry concentrate into the seltzer.
Sheesh.
Now you walk into a supermarket in Lakewood and you literally have dozens and dozens and dozens and dozens of
we're literally sitting along a bunch of amaretto. What is this?
Because they're sitting with the Moshe's kid. What do you mean? Fine. So now, for the Tzad of Shavura, if it's not really regular shtosa, no one drinks it besides the Pesach. You're going made lakaritz,
licorice
water. Eina chamar medina, kibun she'ein regular shtosa kol hashana. For who I didn't call kayotze b'zeh. Va'afilu made vash honey water. Le'avi chamar medina. Ela b'medina she'regilin shtosa. And only when people drink that concoction. Avu b'makom she'ein shtosa nesoy. Ella Laprok in places where they rarely drink it, Lehavi Chamar Medina, Vagora Mishaykh, it's even worse than beer. And I was thinking, like, what would Rabbi Willig say about this last paragraph in the Mishnah Berurah? I remember. So now.
Like cognac.
Oh, so one second. So just look at the end of the Mishnah Berurah. I just want to give a shout out to this very fascinating and interesting comment. Kasha Vishari Tshuva. That's the brother of the Beis Ephraim, Mata Ephraim, if you're familiar, that we use on Yom Nerom, the Mata Ephraim, the Ephraim Zahar Magolis, had a brother who put together a brilliant compilation of nuggets from the Shalos Tshuva Svarim. It's in your Mishnah Berurah. And so, says the Chofetz Chaim, Kasher B'Shari Tshuva B'Shem HaBerkei Yosef, Dal Cholov V'Shemen Ein Lahavdil, don't be mavdil on milk, or oil, she'ein regilin l'shtoisa l'mashka, because people don't drink it as a mashka. This, to me, I don't understand what in the world the Berkei Yosef is talking about. The Gemara talks about that. Can you make a bracha on shemen? The Gemara says shemen is not roi la'achila.
Yeah.
The Gemara says you can't drink shemen by itself.
Right.
Whereas chalav, of course, it's completely roi la'achila, as we see in Tanakh. It talks about drinking milk. So very, very clearly it's roi la'achila, and the habit has obviously changed. Then you can make shoko or whatever else you want to make, or mocha. So like, it's very fascinating that v'chada machta m'machtinu, that he's putting them all in one category. There's no such thing. You don't even make a birkas hananen if you drink oil. You don't. And so how in the world is that in the same breath as not using milk?
Rabbi, chalav also has a connection to wine, Correct.
And the chazal, that's a great place. The chazal darish, and it's even nicer to smile at your friend than to give him milk to drink. Well, what do you mean, give him milk to drink? You can't make havdalah on it, right? So it's very odd that they get put together. So my question is, so this is a raya, the Chacham Mishnah Berurah does not agree to the Chacham Avadia to this halachas ketanas, because he's talking about, at least the Berkei Yosef is saying, no milk, no oil, and they don't say because there's no alcoholic content. They say because it's not a normal thing to drink. So that already, honestly, like even though Chavad is waiting for someone to jump in from the wing and say, oh, it has to have alcohol in it, but it doesn't seem like all the press can necessarily embrace this twist. But what I want to point out is he mentioned two beverages. Do you see what he mentioned before? May lakarich, licorice water, as mistranslated over here, and may dvash, as mistranslated over here, honey water. What bowl did they drop the Tzurim Rabbanan staff that translates into English? What bowl did they really drop? They would have literally, that would be a fumble in this week's game.
Be honey juice.
They're completely talking about. They don't realize
is.
They're not. This is not.
Is an alcoholic beverage.
This is not flavored water. It's an alcoholic beverage. May Lukitz is known in Sephardic lands as Arak. And Med Vash is Slivovitz. Called Med, or in English Mead. And that's the brand for who remembers the notebooks, you know? Right? What is that? That's fermented honey. That's what it is. And it's alcoholic. It was one of the many replacements for wine that people drank throughout the ages. So when the Mishnah Berurah is talking about it, he's not talking about honey water. He's not talking about licorice water. It's talking about Arak. And he's talking about mead, which you probably could buy. I don't know. Find some, go over to P.O. and find out. Sorry?
Rambouille's whiskey.
Rambouille holds that.
Rambouille.
Whiskey is fermented honey with spices.
Yes.
But I think it's grain-based, and then it's flavored after it finished fermenting with
it's basically a cocktail.
Yeah, vibe shemashka, like I say. Okay. So I just want to point this out, and just explore a little bit the different options that seem to come up in the sources. So just look at our source sheets. So if you look, let's go to page 2 of 2. So just because it hit so many different things in one shot, I printed out a part of the entry of the Encyclopedia Talmudis, because it brings a bunch of different sources. I have the paper edition over here, so I'm going to be adding some extra ideas.
There's the need to apologize.
It's so not yeshivish. Ah, Encyclopedia Talmudis. Yeah. It's literally like if if you show up to a football game wearing your son's jersey, like you don't certain things you don't. What are you doing? Like, Okay. So now, who was saying to me that in the Israeli iteration, I'm American, the Israeli iteration, so everyone officially, who's familiar with Ramalach Biederman? You familiar with those
Mila.
Mila. With the booklets?
Well, Springs of Torah.
Right. Right. So people claim that they're looking in the Schottenstein for the notes, and the Ramalach Biederman, they read the text. But everyone really knows that they're looking at the Schottenstein just to get the plain pshat, so they look at the text, and the Ramalach Biederman, they don't care about the Derat Torah, they're looking at the notes for the story. So, that's a 21st century type of reference. But yeah, so in Encyclopedia Talmudis, we're looking here for everything, okay? Both the notes and the text. So it says over here in the third paragraph, Stam Chamar Medina Huskar Al Sheikhar Shel Tamarim, page 2 of 2. So this is fascinating that the Rishonim point out that what about other types of beer? Not date beer, but grain, or that are made from berries. So or te'enim is even more chashav. I can't figure out why tamarim should be less chashav than te'enim, which are figs. I don't know. But you see that the Rishonim say that that's a pasha that should also count. Right? So that's what I was wanted to point this out. It's a mashke, which means that it's alcoholic that's made from other stuff like nasa midvash. Now this is very fascinating because what's she'ar peiros? Something is a little bit off in the entry over here. Excuse me, Rabbi Zevin.
But also he moved from the word
honey. Honey in our parlance is dvash devorim, even though in the Torah it's dvash. Silwarim. So if it's Dvash Tvarim is the first thing that we just talked about. If we talked about if it's made from dates. So you're not talking about this. You're talking about honey. That's not fruit. So Sha'ar Peros Kigon Anasa Midvash. I don't think that honey qualifies as a fruit. Not for sure in my house. So Yain Tzaref or whiskey. Imurov Shtiyas Am, if most people drink that. No matter what, water is not going to be there. Even when there is not a lot of wine and beer. Most people drink water. So still, it's not going to upgrade it to Chamar Medina. The lower level could go in Metapuchim. So this is also, this is all quoting Rishonim and Kanmoinim that refer to, they used to have apple cider. That wasn't considered as chashav, as beer. It was apple beer, apple cider. Umei zangvil. You know what that is? Ginger ale. Ginger ale. Ale is a fermented beverage, and zangvil is ingber, is ginger. That's what it is. So the ginger ale, the fake ginger ale that we drink make as kids, which is this, the carbonated imitation, but it used to be ale. It was a ginger-based drink that was fermented. Okay, so mei zangvil, umei shoresh. You know what mei shoresh is? The shoresh, the bulb in question, is fennel. Does anyone know what fennel produces? Arak. Very good. So this is another reference to arak, to the mei licorice, is mei shoresh. Okay? But again, the root beer, what we call root beer, is a thick rye.
No, originally, when our parents were, they had real root beer, so sarsaparilla root beer.
Oh, so okay, so it could be. What'd you call it? Which plant is that?
Sarsaparilla.
Sarsaparilla.
Yeah. Says the pharmacist.
Now we're talking.
There you go. I'm not a bucky. I thought it was pasha that this is fennel, which is really is arak. So afal pi shehem rosh shtiyas ha'am habeinonim ba'oitz ha'ir, the average middle class person. It used to be in those days you would admit to be middle class, right? Kivan she'ena mashkim chashuvim dinam kemayim. So we see over here that this is leaning in the derech of the Mishnah Berurah. The Mishnah Berurah says stuff that people don't really, they're not really so into it, and you're stuck, let's say, on Pesach time, you need something that's kosher on Pesach, so you drink that. That's not going to do the trick for Chamar Medina. Oh. Ela, she in regilim l'shtosam b'zman yadua, but here he comes, not like the Mishnah Berurah said. In regilim l'shtosam b'zman yadua kegoin b'pesach b'lvad. This is the easy thing. We put this away. We know there's no chametz exposure. It has its badatz on it. Yesh mina achrenim shekasu shebizman ze dinam kechamar medina. During the Pesach season, that's called chamar medina.
So fascinating. He's saying that it has to have two components. It has to be chashuv, and people have to drink it.
Exactly. And if it's just like a...
If only one of them, it doesn't apply. It doesn't
apply. Right. See, here he brings that. So who says this? It's a Magen Avraham. In Simon Kuf Pei Beis, okay, he writes that about apple cider. And he writes it about arak, mei lakris. Then the Magen Avraham is the one who's writing this also even on med or mead. He's writing that the Gabi Arbakaisis, that you could use it for Arbakaisis. And he's making for the Mishnah Berurah's Macha. Mishnah Berurah says if the only reason people are drinking it is because it's Pesach time or we're hard on something good to drink. It doesn't make it into Chamar Medina, and the Nafkamina is for the Pesach itself. So you're having Arba Krisis, all the things that you drink at the table on Pesach. Is it only like second best because we're stuck because of kashrus issues, or does it get upgraded at least for the time being for Chamar Medina? And the Magen Avraham is Mekel that, yeah, if this is what people drink on Pesach, so then you can be Mekel for Arba Krisis to use it even for the Chamar Medina.
The other component that we've been saying, it also has to be alcoholic. All these things that he's quoting were alcoholic.
Is
that a dinim chashivos, or is it a din that it's doing a diyayin?
I think it's pasha that when we had, if you remember the Rashbam that we had in Daf Kuvav and Aleph, which said that why is it that we make Bechla Kiddusha Rabbah on Shabbos morning? What are we doing exactly? So the Rashbam said over there that what we're doing is we are eating a suda, the suda of Shabbos has to come along with shira, and ain shira ela ala yayin, and therefore we have yayin which needs the suda which needs the yayin. They need each other because the yayin is more chashav than the suda. The suda is now upgraded because we're now singing shira on this cup of wine, and the Rashbam is very clear that the idea is that the wine enhances the shira. So it's clear, okay, maybe there's a lack of dispensation that yayin migitoy, the yayin that is fresh wine and is not yet fermented, is still technically speaking kosher, but the idea is that it's something that you can make a l'chaim on. You can't make a l'chaim on coffee. right? So the chare, it has to be that it's alcoholic. That I'm saying that just ties back into everything, almost everything else that is kosher for yayin. Now, I just want to point something out, a fascinating fact. It's also known as the yayin, I think that it's just, it bears mention. Is every single wine, shayla, chamar medina, shayla, are they all created equal? So I didn't print that out for you, but the maisa, the place can discuss many different halachic nafkaminas of having yayin, and so does chamar medina begin to help? One place which is very negeya, it's not so popular. It's not so popular, this one, but I'm just going to point it out because it's coming up soon. The Gemara says.
Which Gemara?
The Gemara says in Megillah. In Megillah, I thought it's here on Daf Zayin Amud Beis. Yes, Amar Rava Michayev Inish LeBesume VePuraya. And the famous story that ensues with Rabbah and Abzeiro. Mm-hmm. So Rabbah says a din, that's, you know, one of the dinim that people are very makbid on in certain circles. Okay? Sometimes even Sveika Diyoma. Sometimes they have Sveika Diyoma, they drink so much, they don't, it takes a few days. So the Gemara says a person is supposed to get drunk on Purim. Now, even if he doesn't get that drunk, as it says over here, but something, what's he supposed to drink? So just a cursory glance at Megillas Esther would probably tell you what. What should you drink?
Wine. Or Dafka, stay away from wine.
What? I'm saying wine. The nace was made because wine. So a Rashi that people conveniently forget. Chayiv inish lebesumi b'puraya, says Rashi.
That's why you're trying to undo it.
Lebesume lehishtaker. To become drunk, be yayin. So, you know, wow, the alcohol industry is going to take a big hit if people start being makbar. It's pashut. Chamar Medina is the last thing in the world that's going to help for the idea of Purim. Of course, Haman and Achashverosh were drinking very expensive bottles. But when it comes to, what were they drinking? The idea was they were drinking wine, right? Wine, Mishteh Hayayin. It says many times Mishteh Hayayin. It didn't. I don't think it meant lichi wine. I don't think so. So the point is that if you want to be mekayim the idea, it's not, you know, when we reference the tshuva of Moshe Feinstein, where, you know, someone asked him, can you involve other kind of chemicals in your system to get you into a different state? Is that also called the Sumer variety?
Says that, no, the 60s.
Yeah, and he says that's not the din. Like, it's very nice that it makes you feel good, but that's not called the Vesume. So the Vesume Bipuraya is, you're not going to be yotze with Chamar Medina.
That's called a trick.
And I think many people don't pay attention to that, but that's outside of our sugya, that the sugya of Chamar Medina doesn't start on Purim, L'charev. In terms of the Hashivas of the Purim Suda, yes. So there, even though it's supposed to be based on wine, but when it says you're supposed to bring all the best up, right? So it means this cut of meat is not that cut of meat, or bring out everything. You could also bring out other types of alcohol, but the point is that it's not a kiyum of the sumim parai. Oh. Okay, so I think so. I just felt like this is a bit of a misnomer. All the licorice water and the honey water, that's not what it means. It means alcoholic. But lemaisa, it's meduik in kama achronim that it doesn't actually need to be alcoholic. Most notably, the Berakha Yosef, the chida, also chida Rabbi Chaim Yosef, that he says that not milk and not oil, but at least you don't see that he excludes them because of their total lack of alcoholic content. But Lamaisa, there's for sure a tremendous makom that if you're already going to have Chamar Medina, it should be alcoholic. Chamavadi Svara, and he already quotes it from the earlier Achrenim, is a very strong, it's a very strong Svara.
That's the Svardi, for sure. The question is, does any Ashkenazi follow that same line of thinking?
Right, so you're asking a good question, and I feel like maybe this is a cultural overlay, but like, yeah, you go to a wedding and then they have the kids' table, or at an airline. Sometimes you're jealous of the kids' meal, right? Because like, instead of this,
you can order it.
What?
You can order it. Yeah? I always do.
Okay, there you go. So the point is like all the fancy food that we're supposed to be enjoying, but like the simple stuff. So like a kid would prefer the orange juice to the beer, right? But so the question is that even though orange juice is gourmet and it's not just for people who are sick or, you know, people who don't are not sophisticated enough to enjoy the alcohol. So the question is, is there that element in Chamar Medina? So presuming that there is, it's, and I think it's a very strong argument that the Chamavad is saying you need both. You need to have on one hand the chashiva, so coffee and tea served on China could be very chashiv, and then you have the delicious orange juice. Thank you, Rari. But at the same time, there needs to be a combination of the chashivas and the actual identity as a real mashka, not just the water, and also that it could get you, that it's able to alter the mood. And I think even just looking at the, you know, at the taverns, what are people raising their glass with? What's in there, you know? How do you celebrate you winning the Super Bowls with champagne, right? Yeah. Let's say it wouldn't have alcohol in it. It wouldn't, the loyazer, right?
I don't get open. I'm not thinking.
Chazal are not hiding and saying, oh, yeah, this is a uniquely Jewish thing. We figured out alcohol. No, it's part of the way it works in the world. And Chamar Medina is also informed by what the Goyish habits are in terms of whether something is considered a Chamar Medina.
Is the halachot not Svari or Ashkenazi?
I think actually... I used to know what the Chassidan says. I'm pretty sure Ashkenazi. Believe it or not. I think there's a Prague in there, maybe. Chassidanus. Okay, so if there's only one Chassidanus, then Rabbi Chagiz for sure was not from Prague. Okay.
Doesn't sound,
so was that in the 1600s that the famous Rabbi Yaakov Chagiz? Okay. Okay, there you go. Ah, okay. So just a few things I want to throw in that have to do with Havdalah that we just kind of went through the halachas today, this week. So one very fascinating, also, and I think it's another of the others because it's so entertaining, but this came up in a shir I gave years ago. I gave a shir that this came up. And one of the Talmidim had a fascinating comment that brought me to think about a nafkamina lahalacha. If you are making Havdalah on Chamar Medina, there could perhaps be an issue with what the order of the brachas is going to be. Why? Because if you looked in the sources that we learned, so what is the, how do we paskin, what order do you say it in? So you say Bar Priya Gafen, then Bar Mina Besamim, then Bar Mir Ha'esh, and then the Bracha of Amavda. Okay, so now, very, very fascinating halacha that is not so well known. But if you make a Bar Mina Besamim, why are we not doing Bar Mina Besamim? So Hashalah says, because people are they're always scrambling for something to smell, and sometimes a fascinating idea, the Chazanish has a Shita, that it's very important not to actually use a food ingredient to smell. Even technically speaking, it smells good. But if you have something in your spice cabinet in the kitchen that could go into food, you're not supposed to make it where you use cinnamon. Even if you have two bottles of cinnamon, two jars of cinnamon, use the cinnamon that you're not actually putting into food. Okay? This is the Chazanish. It's very fascinating, and it's not for now exactly what a svara is. But he literally says it should not be something that could go into food, because then it's really, really has a bit of a machal. So even though it smells good, you could say it even on fruit that you're going to eat.
Cinnamon sticks you put in tea.
Right? But the Shlach says, and the Chara, it's a practical thing, but it's brought down in the Pesach. You should definitely say the bracha of Borei Minim B'Samah Musa Shabbos. It seems like even when you know that it's really about Borei Asei B'Samah, right? It's maybe some say the Borei Minim B'Samah Ashkenazim. Why? Because it's the catch-all of Borei Minim B'Samah is... B'Sam is Bar Mina B'Sam. But listen to this fascinating halacha. What's the catch-all when it comes to food? Which bracha? Shehakol. Says the Mishnah Brura, if a person says Shehakol Nia B'Dvaray on B'Sam, he's Yotze.
I'm smelling
B'Sam, he's Yotze. Because it encompasses even the Birkas Areach.
Right.
So it comes out, I can't remember, it was a Sephardi Talmud for sure who brought this up. So we were saying a shiur, I remember which classroom it was in Torah Shraga many years ago. So it comes out, that if you have Chamar Medina that you're making Havdalah on, you should say, before you say the Shahakol on the Chamar Medina, you should say Bari Amina V'Samer. Because if you say Shahakol Nir Bivara, you're also Ba'etzam Yotzei.
No, you're not. Now you have in mind to exclude it.
So then that gets into the question, is that what's called a bracha? Okay, so Rai is saying, good point, that it could be that since it's only a backup, the question really is, though, even in such a case, the halacha in standard Hilchas Brachas order goes according to what will work. Where's the place that impacts on our life every day? If I'm sitting down and I have a peach and a banana, I'm not supposed to make a Bar Adama on the banana and eat it before I eat the peach. Because technically speaking, Bar Adama could be the other cover of peach. I don't even have to have a mind that I don't want it to be Yotzei. But since it's I'm making the brachas in a way where there's a bracha that's a little bit unnecessary, it's better to make the bracha Bar Eitz on the peach, which cannot part of the banana. And the same is true with Shahakol all over the place. Shahakol is always the last.
Is Motzi peach also?
Yes, and that's why whenever you have shahakol, it should always be the last bracha that you make. So my point is that I don't know that it's not relevant to this case. I don't remember if I ever seriously asked a different place about this shayla, but I think it's the for sure shayla. I pointed out that when you say Torah, so you say shahakol yochal the b'samim. So
what about
Bar Mirah Eish? As we see in the Pesachim, it's not just the Hana itself, which it says you have to have a nod from it, but the Hana is a nod to the Bria Sa'esh, which is a Mitzvah Shabbos, and therefore it's not a straight up Birkas Hanenin. It's also a Birkas Shabbos, and therefore I don't think there's any tzad that it would also cover. You don't have the idea of I'm Nene from the Asian, I make a Birkas Hanenin. It's purely a Shevach, which is based off the Hana that I'm getting.
You don't even necessarily need to get Hana. You need to potentially be able to get Hana, not that you need to necessarily.
Right. So theoretically, even if I don't need that, I don't need to see my nails, I just look at them, right?
That's
I'm doing something that is Hanah based.
You're saying if you made Havdalah on beer, let's say during the
right. I have this shayla and I never addressed it seriously enough to tell you that I have a good answer. But as just like, oh, you guys. But I think it's a good question. It's entertaining. But I think it's a good question. Like if you have a chamar medina, that's what you make shahakol on. So then you're yotzei for the brix of some as well with that. Maybe you should switch the order. Now you have to also look at the sugya in Arab Sachem, the machlekes b'sil b'shama by Kiddush and Avdala, what the seder habrachas is, and briskarava on that sugya. Okay, so one other thing I just wanted to throw in over here, a fascinating and I don't know exactly how halachic it is, but when it comes to bar me'arei ha'esh, so I'll tell you one halacha that's not brought over here, which is that the bar me'arei ha'esh is supposed to be dafka and avuka, dafka a torch. Right? Now, what does that mean? So we have our multi-grade Haggadah candles. So the question is, like, how many of those do you need? So who knows? The Gemara says two already. It's called
two wicks.
So Rabbi Kiva Eder comes with, you know, you ever like not? I remember when I was a kid, banging Hoshanas. Like the whole idea was get every single leaf off and make a lot of noise and make a big mess, right? And then I still remember like the workers that would come after davening on Mustafa and Shana Rabbah and they vacuum the whole shul up from all the right. And then of course then the next day after, so it was thoroughly, you know, repeat, you know, lather, rinse, repeat. So the question is, what about when someone would come over to you and your little kid was saying, you know, it says in Mishnah Berurah you only have to hit it five times. I'm like, what? Like, so I want my huge Rebbe Havdalah candle. Where Rabbi Yeager like ruins the fun and he says you should know it's not the biggest deal. The halachic definition of an avuka is that there are two wicks. Even if there's not a big flam fire, there's not a huge thing, that's also called an avuka. It doesn't have to be that you spread the wicks out and it makes this big flame. Oh, well, so then, you know, I'd rather keep it away for after Havdalah. Okay? It's part of the enjoyable aspect of Havdalah. That's the mitzvah of Rabbi Kiva Eger's kula. But what I want to point out is something that if you look, where's the Marima Eish? It's here somewhere, isn't it? That's on page, the bracha over fire. So it's on page. The bracha over fire. So the Gemara says, this is a famous Gemara in the Gimel Amud Beis and Dalam Ralph in Pesachim. It talks about the creation of fire, and we bless Hashem because of that. So if you look in Pirkei Rabbi Elazar, Parakuf, not a commonly quoted halachic source, so it gives the Medrash background. Okay, this is also not printed out, but it's on page 222. That's how many wicks you need, right? Beit Hashmasha Shal Shabbos Haya Adam Mehara Beliba. The end of Shabbos, after Adam had already eaten from the Eitz Hadas on Erev Shabbos, by Omer Shema HaNochash Shehisa Oisi. Maybe that the Gemara says the Nochash, the Satan, the Eitz Hara, the Malach Mavis is all one. So Adam Rishon had that idea, and he thought maybe that snake that got me to do that stavira, Yovavi Shifeni, okay, maybe he's going to come bite me and kill me. V'nishtalachlo Amud Shal Eish L'shamroi an extra vote they put there. So an Amud Eish came to protect him and to give him light. The end of Shabbos, as Shabbos is ending, yes. Ra Adam Amud Shal Eish v'samach b'liba. He saw that Amud Shal Eish and he was happy. U'pashat es yaday la'or ha'esh. And he stretched out his hands to the fire. V'amar baruch ata Hashem alakinu melech ha'olam barim ma'or ha'esh. Now I know fascinating. Now, in other midrashim, we see that the idea is that the first time Adam and Rishon experienced darkness was Motzei Shabbos. And it wasn't so much the snake as it felt like, okay, the world's coming to an end.
Well, so that the Abayra coincided with the very first light of the end of the day.
The Or HaGadol is shown, and right. It was light the whole Shabbos. Yeah. So the Lamaisa, the more famous version that the Gemara quotes is that other mission he couldn't see anything, and Hashem gave him das, and he took two rocks and he banged them together, and he created a spark. So what?
That's put there as well.
Yeah. So that's the Gemara's version. He says, "V'hevi shnei avonim v'tochlan zu bezu v'yotza mehen or," and the fire came out. So that's different than the version of that the quote immediately after in the Pirkei Rabbi Elazar. However, if the Pirkei Rabbi Elazar is really a source for this, let's see what it says. The Pirkei Rabbi Elazar says, "Let's say you don't have a fire." Sorry. What is it? Oh, 20. Had a cough. Where does the thing with the fingernails come from? So it says over here. Avimana Omar, Ketzad Chayav Adam Lavarach Al Kosh Shal Yayin La'or Ha'esh. Va'omer, Barach Barim La'or Ha'esh. Ukshemachzir Yodai Min Ha'esh, Omar, Barach Hamavda Min Kodesh L'chal. Vim ein lo yayin, let's say he doesn't have wine. He doesn't say chamar medina. He says poishen es yadav la'or ha'esh u'mistakel b'tziperna. Okay, so it's already in this very early source that you're supposed to look at your nails. Shehem levonois min haguf va'omer baruch mo'er ha'esh. Kima shemarach yadav min ha'esh. Sorry?
What sources?
This is the Pirkei Rabbi Elazar. It's okay. Not, a lot of it was written by Rabbi Elazar HaGadol, the Tana, the Rebbe of Rabbi Akiva, but not all of it. You see there Amaran that are in here as well.
There's a footnote in here, yeah, about the source of the, it says, people thought it was Rabbi Elazar ben Hyrcanus, but Rabbi Elazar HaKudo already observed the fact that it was authored much later.
Yeah, you see, it talks about Rabbi Yochanan Rish Lakish in here, so it's obviously not.
Right.
So, Baruch HaMadah Mikosh L'chol, look at this one. You don't have wine, you just say by Meresh. Let's say you don't have fire. I kid you not. Poishet yodoi la'or ha'kechavim. Sheheim shal eish. V'yistaka b'tziparnav. Sheheim levones min haguf. V'oimer baruch. Or barim ma'ari ha'eish. Then niskadru shamayim, if it's too cloudy. Toilesh evim min ha'oretz. U'mavdil. You pull out a rock from the ground. Umavil. Not clear exactly what happens when you do that.
Shout out to the original spark.
Right. Okay, so I'm just pointing out that it says black and white in Pirkei Rabbi Elazar that you actually use the starlight. So first of all, the fact that Chazal viewed stars as being fire, that's a nice thing to see.
That's why
you have to understand. What do people used to think stars are? I don't know.
Does the moon count?
Ah, see, it doesn't say the moon, and we all know that Chazal were quite aware that the moon is not its own actual light, it's a reflection. So Lamaisa, I don't think that there's a halachic basis to rely on this, but it's a fascinating halacha nonetheless that's quoted in Pirkei Rabbi Elazar. I'm sorry?
The fire of the straw might not exist at this
point. So the R, this is a very good question. So the R Haner, what is what is the R Haner? Okay, good. So I think, if I'm not mistaken, I just want to narrate and thank the Olam for being stark and to thank Hashem that I'm back on 2 feet. Last week I was not on 2 feet. And I'm still curious to hear Chazar share from the people about Rabbi Isaac Kovitz this year. I just want to point out that with these last few shiurim, we're basically wrapping up the what I call the Kiddush of Avdalta segment of our Limud, and now we're going to begin to focus on the Isuri Melacha segment, starting off next week with some of the underpinnings of the Melachas, Melachas Machsheves, and the 39 Melachas, which are going to be the gateway to a very, very big preoccupation with the Isurim of Shabbos. And we know Zachar, Veshamar, Bedibar, Echad, Nemru, they were all said together, so both the Zechira, which we've been focusing on for a while, and the Shemira are the rain, the limits, parashim, the two inextricably intertwined aspects of Shabbos, and Bez Hashem, it should come l'shmoa, l'lumod, l'lameid, l'shmar, l'lasos.
Amen.